on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back. It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast. And in this week's episode, we get to celebrate a school record and a team championship. It's that time of year, right, where we've talked about we're into the winter championships, and we've seen swimming and diving compete in the Summit League championships already. Men's and women's indoor track and field, the men's team with a team title back-to-back years. The women's team finished in runner-up, and they weren't that far away. I think it was like within 10 or 11 points of first place North Dakota State, but really good showing at the Summit League Track and Field Championships and solid showings at the Swimming and Diving Championships as well last weekend. So there's all of that going on. I know spring sports have kicked up as well, and we're trying to follow all of it, right? We're keeping track of what tennis is doing. We're watching what is going on with softball because they're playing very well right now. And you're also closing in on the regular season for basketball, wrapping up the regular season for basketball. This is the final week of the regular season, and that means the final home games of the year for the South Dakota men's and women's basketball teams, at least for the regular season. And it means Senior Day. The men's team is going to honor Lahat Shun on Senior Day. He's the lone senior on this team. I know there's been some ups and downs with the season, but only one senior, and that sometimes can be a good thing. And so they're going to honor Lahat Shun on Thursday night, and hopefully, he can have a good performance the rest of the way and see how the season wraps up for Lahat. But you got Lahat Shun, who's the senior for men's basketball, and then you got women's basketball, who will play their final home game of the regular season on Saturday. It is Senior Day for them. Nicole Avila Ambrosi will be honored, Madison Grange, Morgan Hansen, and Tori DePerry. You know, some of these individuals have given us a year or two of their career. Some have been here their entire career, but they'll honor four seniors on Saturday. And so I hope a lot of people can get out to the games this week and just, you know, appreciate the seniors and what they've been able to do with this program and just being a part of the University of South Dakota. And again, the men's game is set to tip off on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and then the women's team will wrap up their regular season on Saturday afternoon as they take on North Dakota, and that game on Saturday is set to tip off at 2 o'clock. So it's a big week as we get set to wrap up the regular season for basketball, and then of course next week we'll talk a lot about the Summit League tournament. We'll see where the teams fall into place, and then we'll get after it in Sioux Falls and see what happens. It's basketball in March, so you never know what might happen at the Summit League tournament. So keep the faith. We'll see what happens. Hopefully one of the two teams or both of them can make a run here in the Summit League tournament. But again, that's all next week. You can get your tickets. Check them out. Check out, I think, the Denny Sanford Premier Center box office or Ticketmaster for ticket information for the Summit League tournament. But for ticket information for the home games this week, go to goyotes.com. This week, I had a great chance to catch up with Katie Nicola, who is coming off of a school record tying round 67, 5-under par, at the Rio Verde Invitational, which was taking place in Arizona last weekend. And we talked about that special round for her and future goals for Katie Nicola. Katie, first off, congratulations on a great opening spring weekend for you, and tied a record with a round that you had a 67, and thanks for your time. How are things right now as you get into the swing of the spring season?
Really good. I'm enjoying the traveling, going to warm weather, and I'm very happy that we've started. It's kind of exciting to get going.
You got to go down to Arizona, obviously, with this group, and set yourself a couple of personal bests, I think, right, with a three-hole round score, and then obviously that 67. Describe the 5-under 67 in that round. I mean, it had to feel like just about everything was working.
Yeah, I was very confident. I knew exactly what was going to happen, pretty much, just stepping over the ball. I didn't really have any doubts, and I started on number 9 with a birdie, Hit a good shot up to the green, which was nice, and it was just an easy two-putt birdie, which was kind of a way to settle in a bit. But then going back, played the back nine, going to one and two, I birdied both of those, and I was like, okay, stop counting. I always know where my score is, but I was like, stop counting, just play, like, and that helped me just be in the moment and shot by shot instead of being like, oh my God, you're six, not six under, you're three under, four under, whatever, and that helped calm me a bit. But it was really exciting. It was very confident, very calm, and then afterwards I was very happy, obviously. Yeah.
Describe the feeling of standing over the ball. You've got your club, you've got your distance, you know where the ball's going. Mm-hmm. Because anybody who's played golf ever mm-hmm. knows that's not always the case.
Right. So actually the shot that I think of is my second to last hole, number seven. I have a 7-iron into the green, and I was like, okay, like, just get it on the green, like, you know, ending your round. And while some people want to end really hot, I just want to, like, keep it calm instead of getting super fired up. And so I was like, okay. And you get to a point where you just, like, trust your swing. You know you're going to swing the right swing. And so just feeling that was very calming by itself. Like, instead of standing over the ball and you're like, okay, like, don't push this. You're just like, okay, just get it on the green. And you know it's going to be on the green or very close to it. So that was... it's a feeling that's hard to describe because you just know, like, you're over the ball and you're just like, okay, I got this.
I know you said you were going through the round and you're reminding yourself stop counting, but mm-hmm. at some point you're going through that round and you're realizing this mm-hmm. is a special round and things mm-hmm. are good. How do you try to keep your nerves calm and your mind calm mm-hmm. so you can keep playing at a high level?
Taking every shot as it comes. So not focusing on the past or the future, just the shot that you are standing over or about to hit really helps. Truly, like, the not counting thing actually worked for me. I've never done that, and I was just like, don't count. And I think what surprised me the most, maybe not surprised, but what got to me the most that made me nervous was that it was a bogey-free round. And so I was like, okay, like, oh boy. Like, okay, you haven't really messed up too much. And I had a 5-foot par putt on my fourth to last hole, and I was like very confident, but also kind of like, oh my gosh, like, don't mess up your streak so far.
Right.
But focusing on each shot as it comes is very important when you are playing very well, because getting too ahead of yourself and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm shooting 67 tends to just destroy what you have created. So that was very important, and I'm very happy that I kept up doing that.
Different tournaments and different rounds call for different mindsets, mm-hmm. right? In this particular tournament, did there ever get to a point where you wanted to stay aggressive, or you thought about playing it safe so you didn't get those bogeys? Like, right. How do you justify that?
Well, I'm most aggressive on par fives because I'm a longer hitter off the tee and with my woods. Lucky for me, those par fives on the course in Rio Verde were shorter, so I was able to go for most of them and be very aggressive without facing too many consequences. So fours were mainly just normal, just get it on the green. You know, I was good off the tee the entire tournament, so I was able to be aggressive and I didn't really have to contemplate too much, which I was grateful for. Six was my last par five, and I had a long conversation with my coach about, okay, do we lay off it a bit because there was a bunker guarding the pin, or do we just still go for it? And just with my wedges, my woods and my hybrids being as good as they were this tournament, we were like, you just have to go for it. And I was able to go for it, and it paid off in the end. So as a team, we were kind of a point where you needed to be aggressive and hope, I never like to hope, but hope that it would work out in the long run. And I think it did. It did for me, at least, going for it.
When you look at playing golf, it's kind of a funny thing because you talk about that team score, right? Mm-hmm. But it's all about your individual round, because right. you can only control what you can control. Mm-hmm. How much do you pay attention to, when you're golfing, team scores mm-hmm. as you're coming down the stretch, and really other individual scores?
I personally never look online to see how we're doing. Sometimes we keep our own online live scoring. This tournament we didn't, but sometimes you can see how other people are doing on your team or as a whole. I don't like to look. I can tell kind of by the way that players are walking or acting. Emma Henningsen was behind me, and she's always very cool and calm. So it's I can never tell with her, but then other players, I can kind of just tell how they're playing. And it doesn't motivate me too much because I know that I just need to focus on my own game and play the best that I can for the team. But I know at least like the last day helping our team out, taking kind of looking at it a different way, but taking the five strokes off essentially what other players had shot kind of just helped me like feel better. And I don't focus on it too much during the round. I think after the round I'm like, okay, we're doing good, everything's okay, everyone's gonna be okay, and you know what every player expects to shoot or kind of their range, and you're like, okay, they shot in their range, good, like, and you just feel each game out by that. Yeah. I guess
what would you say is the strength of your game?
My driver off the tee, my long clubs, my driver and my woods. And Rio Verde saved me a lot. I've straightened them out quite a lot in the past. Over the winter, weirdly enough, I didn't hit them too much, but coming out, it was just straight. And I was like, we're rolling with it. Like, play to your strengths. And so that's probably my best game. I don't mess up too much off the tee, which is really nice.
What would you say is your weakness, something that you're always working on to get better at?
Putting, for sure. Even at the last tournament, I keep going back to Rio Verde, it's just the last thing, but I've always struggled with some speed. Sometimes I can't fully read all the break, but when it's on, it's on. Sunday it was on. I was making some good putts, but that's definitely my weakness. Learning each individual course in their greens is very challenging to me, and so it's something that I'm still working through every tournament.
A couple of years ago, before you came to USD, you had the chance to compete in the US Girls Junior Championship. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like for you?
Oh, it was amazing. So I think about this weirdly a lot. Rose Zhang won that tournament. She's now on the LPGA Tour. So thinking about like, I played in a tournament with a woman that's now on the LPGA is crazy to me. It was a really awesome experience. It is one of my favorite golf courses, Columbia Country Club. It's kind of one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. The USGA runs an amazing tournament. Everything was taken care of for us. We didn't really have anything to worry about except being at our tee time on time. And it was amazing. I got to have my swing coach by me. He was my caddy throughout the tournament, and it's just overall a really cool experience. Being at such an elite tournament was a little intimidating, but I think I felt out of place a little bit, but then you kind of settle into the rounds and everything and you feel right at home and where you're supposed to be. So it was really cool, really, really cool. And I had a lot of family there too, so that was really nice.
Has golf always been something involved in your life, or how did you get started in the sport?
This is a really funny story. So I actually kind of started playing with Wii Golf. I was playing with my stepdad, and he was like, wow, like, you are really competitive in this compared to other sports. And he was like, okay, we're getting you into golf lessons. I was like 6 years old, five or six at the time, and I was like, okay. And I met my spin coach that I still have now. His name is Pat, and he's great. And I've been with him since I was six till now I'm 19, so it's been a long time, and his business has grown, which has been really cool, but knowing that I was kind of one of his first students that has done really well is kind of makes me feel really good. And I've just been playing for a long time, and I'm so happy I got into it. It's always been a part of my life, always. Going to practices or tournaments or whatever has been always.
So did you always think that this might be your ticket to college, opportunity to compete at this level?
Yeah. It was big. It was the biggest thing I looked at. I've never been too academically focused. I obviously go to school, go to school here, obviously. But golf has been a big thing in my life more than school really ever has. So trying to figure out what I'm doing in the future has been more of a challenge than just playing. So I think that's kind of an interesting way of life, but yeah.
But academics are important.
Yes, so academics are important. I'm not saying that at all. They are important. I've always, yes.
What made you choose the University of South Dakota? And you know, you've been here for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. So what made this your opportunity?
Well, Coach Bennett is very persuasive, and he's been a very good coach as well. I had a few very good conversations with him over the phone, and I think the biggest thing is I wanted to play right off the bat. I wanted to come to college and play golf and be on a competitive roster right when I started playing, and looking at some of the other schools, I might not have been able to do that. So I was very impressed with some of the things that Coach Bennett told me over the phone, that I can probably, you know, I had a good chance of playing, and knowing, kind of looking at the team that he had the year before I was here, I knew I could kind of fit in. Unfortunately, I didn't get to meet the girls until I got here, so I didn't really know that, atmosphere, but I enjoyed my campus visit over the summer, and I liked kind of the smaller school vibe, and
Describe this team. It's very young when you look at it. I mean, there's obviously some rounds played and things like that, but an opportunity for a group if they choose to be together in this team for a long time.
Yeah, it's very young team. I think we have all matured a lot. I know I have from freshman year to sophomore year, kind of stepping up and being able to answer some of the freshmen's questions first semester, just about how to be a college golfer and scheduling and whatnot and they figured their way much quicker than I know I did. Even some of them are like, oh yeah, they'll know things that I don't know yet. And I'm like, oh wow, okay. But I think this team we have a lot of potential to play very well. We showed part of that in Rio Verde. We've shown it over the fall. We have very good opportunity to play very well. And as games mature and grow throughout college golf, I think we have a very good chance of being a very good team. And we are now, just a few more things.
What's the biggest difference for you, or what was the biggest adjustment getting into college golf?
Time management. Knowing your schedule and being on time to everything is obviously very important. But also figuring out, okay, you have time to do homework this time when you're at a tournament, and you have to really use that time. That was very hard for me in the beginning, to use your time wisely and have time management throughout your entire day. So scheduling has become very big. I have a full week schedule I write up every Sunday. But that was probably the biggest thing and biggest adjustment I had to make. Instead of having the full day to go practice whenever or do homework whenever, it's you have homework between this time and this time, and you have to do it because you will have no time other than that, which was very difficult for me in the beginning.
Next week, your next tournament. It's in Puerto Rico, and a tournament hosted by Ball State University. Just the thought of going to Puerto Rico to play a college golf tournament, that's got to be exciting.
This is so exciting. I am so excited to go to Puerto Rico. I think this is going to be a really good experience. We played with a few teams last week that are going to be there as well, so it's going to be a good field, but we are very competitive. We know how to play against these teams, especially since we just saw them play, and it's going to be an interesting tournament. I'm very excited. I've never really been, I don't think I've ever been on an island, but it'll be very, I don't know, I've never been that south, so I'm excited.
Yeah, neat opportunity. You know, one thing you and I were talking about before we started this was, obviously, you don't get golf carts, right? Mm-hmm. In college golf, you walk everywhere. Some people use the push carts. Mm-hmm. You like to carry your bag.
Yeah.
Has that always been a preference for you? Or
no.
Why carry instead of push the cart? Some people are like, why do you want to carry the heavy bag? But for you, what goes into that decision?
I believe, probably a personal thing, but I believe I take less steps than everyone else on the golf course. I got shorter legs, so realistically, I probably don't. But you can walk across the green. You have everything right there. I think the only thing is you can't carry as many snacks. One of my teammates, Ella, pushes, and she's like, I just keep everything with me. I got 4 water bottles in here and any snack you can think of. And I'm like, okay, well. But I started caring about 3 or 4 years ago. So I used to be big on pushing, and now I'm like, nope, I want to carry. I love it. I don't even really know why, besides the fact that you can walk across a green. Like, you can just take less steps and get to places easier, and it's just not as big.
Now that you've hit 67, mm-hmm. What's the next goal?
66. No, just keep going lower. I think my next goal is to keep lowering my 3-score hole average. Three tournament round. Yeah, there we go. 3 rounds, lowering that. My lowest is an even par. I shot 1 over with the 67, so I think just getting under par would be amazing. For 3 days would be something I've never, ever done and never really thought I could do until I got to college, and Coach Bennett and I have talked about that a lot, and it's been, I can definitely do it. And so it's been really cool to kind of open up my mind to it and have a lot more confidence in it now. But that's my next step.
We obviously hope to see you play a lot of golf at the University of South Dakota the next few years. Yes. But at some point, you're going to graduate and move on. Is the goal to keep playing golf?
Maybe. I'm a little in between. I would love to keep playing. I think that's something that's definitely still on the table. But I also want to see other opportunities, potentially sticking with golf, but working in other paths with it, potentially coaching or whatnot. So maybe we'll see how it keeps going, but a lot more rounds to go, and I'm very excited to keep playing.
Well, I know right now you're focused on Puerto Rico and mm-hmm. the excitement that is. Yes. Enjoy that trip with your
Thank
team
you.
And good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Fun to see your scores come in and good luck. Keep going lower.
Thank you. I will.
That is Katie Nicola. She is a sophomore at the University of South Dakota in her second season playing golf for the Yotes, firing that round of 67. She tied her teammate Ella Greenberg, who shot a 67 in the fall, which is, ties the school record. She shot it in the fall. Katie ties it here in the spring season. Those two, very young. They're two of the leaders. Emma Henningsen, we see a lot about her as well. She's one of the Summit League golfers to watch this year. And you look at all of these golfers for South Dakota. They're all freshmen or sophomore. It's a very young women's golf team. But as you can tell, very, very talented women's golf team as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they continue to find their success here at the course of this spring season. They've got a few tournaments here left in the spring season. And then it's all down to the Summit League Championship. So women's golf will play in Puerto Rico next week. They play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which generally they play either a Sunday, Monday, or, maybe it's a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever. But this is different out in Puerto Rico, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. And then late March, they'll head to Branson, Missouri for a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday event hosted by Missouri State. Then it's Stampede at the Creek in April in Omaha, Nebraska, and that all leads up to the Summit League Championships, which are scheduled for late April in Kansas. So the golf season's going to fly by, but hopefully, since we're talking golf, that means the warmer weather is coming around and it's going to stick around here for us, but we'll see. Never get too confident that the weather in this area is actually going to be friendly and going to hold, but we'll hold out hope, right? Maybe we're not confident, but we're going to hold out hope. The South Dakota men's track and field team won the indoor team title in the Summit League Championships. this past weekend in Fargo, and they were able to edge the host North Dakota State by 1.5 points. What an incredible margin to win by. And they found a number of ways to have success. And one of those athletes who had success was Joe Lynch, who transferred to USD from Dakota State. He is a Sioux Falls O'Gorman graduate, high jumper, lost in the jump off, which we'll talk about coming up in the conversation, but a heck of an effort for him, a personal best effort, joining the 7-foot club in the high jump. Joe Lynch, we had a chance to chat this week about winning the Summit League team title and the emotions of going through that jump off in the high jump.
Joe, first off, congratulations on the team title for the Summit League Championships, back-to-back for the men's program. Describe kind of the weekend and just the feeling of another team championship.
Well, going into the meet, we knew that we needed a bunch of big performances to really come away with a victory. And going down to the wire, it really was coming down to that triple jump and that 4x4. And it really seemed like, you know, we had one more attempt left in the triple jump, and we were losing at that point. And I was thinking about, I lost the high jump jump off, which is a 4-point swing for NDSU, and we were about to lose by less than 4 points, and that was all I could think about. But then, bang, Jaden Green vaults up into second, and then bang, Carson Stair passes him. And then as that's happening, the 4x4 is going around, and we have the lead for most of it. And we end up finishing second in that. I think we were ranked like fourth in that. And it was just like a 2-minute span of just disbelief. Like there's a couple pictures that my sister took of us celebrating the triple jumps, and you can just see me in the background, like kind of off, just looking stunned.
What is it like going through, you know, those last couple events are happening? You personally have done everything you can do to that point. There's nothing else you can do. It's in somebody else's hands. What is that like to watch and just try to cheer on?
I just, you know, every jump just held on to that hope. And I've been training with those, Carson and Jaden. I've been training with them all year, so I know what they can do and how good they are at what they do. And I feel like even last year, we needed big performances from the triple jump, and Jaden came through last year too. So I just we have a lot of trust for each other and just back each other up.
I know you mentioned you lost the jump off. Mm-hmm. Kind of mixed feelings in that type of deal. You finished runner up, right? Which mm-hmm. is a really cool deal, but and you wanted to win, obviously, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you're hitting a personal best. How do you try to balance those emotions?
So it was hard because when I hit that personal best, I was jumping before he was, and I had always thought about how I would react if I jumped 7 feet. And then I did, and I probably spent about 3 more jumps worth of energy celebrating that PR, and then NDSU guy just comes and does the exact same thing I just did. And I was just like, oh, I have to keep jumping. And I just had to, I don't know, kind of focus up, and had a few more shots at another 7-1 bar, and then we both missed that, so back down to a 7-foot bar, both missed that, back down to 6'11.5, both made that. That honestly might have been my best jump of the day. And then back up to 7 foot, I missed it, and I was just kind of helpless to watch him clear that and take the victory.
Describe that emotion. I mean, obviously, you hit the PR, and then you're in a jump-off. How do you try to stay focused with, you know, there's a lot of eyes on that competition. How do you try to stay focused on what you need to accomplish?
Well, really, I just was kind of leaning on my coaches and teammates. Just listening to what Lucky had to say to me between each jump. My high jump teammates were right there with me, giving me emotional support. And I just tried to keep focused on the things that I don't always have to focus on, because I was tired. I was taking twice as many jumps in a competition than I normally do. And so I really had to focus on every single step and to jump well.
Anybody who competes in anything, you set little goals for yourself. There's always big goals, but there's little goals. And one of your goals was to clear 7 feet. So despite the loss there, what did that mean to you to get up that high?
So it was very bittersweet. You know, it was great to jump 7 feet, but really until it was clear that we were going to win the meet, I was actually not very happy with that performance since I didn't come away with it. But as I get separated from that moment time-wise, it just feels very rewarding because I know I've put a lot of hard work into this, and there's a lot of people that have supported and believed in me, and it just feels good to prove all of them right.
Describe the indoor track and field championships, because you look at a lot of competitions and the athletes rely on the crowd, and certainly you guys have a crowd, but for the majority of the year, your energy is generated within the team. Mm-hmm. Describe that and how you try to encourage each other, because you're kind of leaning on each other.
Yeah, so at the conference meet, we always make a point to watch as many events as we can and be as loud as we can. I was actually thinking about, I used to play basketball in high school, and for every single game of basketball, there was a crowd there, and it would get pretty loud every single game. But with track and field, most of our regular season meets are pretty tame. There's not really much of a crowd unless Chris Nielsen's vaulting 6 meters. But so that energy is a big game changer come conference meet, because you figure out who's built for that energy and who's not.
You did not start your career at South Dakota. You started at Dakota State. What made you decide to make this move south? Maybe a little bit warmer, I guess. All right, you go south. No, I'm kidding. But to the University of South Dakota and take your talents to the Division I level.
Well, I had been in contact with Zach Anderson, former high jumper here, and he was really the first person to tell me how good I could be. I did a couple workouts with him over Christmas break of my freshman year, and right there he told me I could probably jump like 6'10". And that was a mark that was not even on my mind. I just wanted to jump higher than I was already. And then the season ended and I didn't really clear that mark, but I looked at the Summit League and my mark at that point could have been competitive at the conference meet. So I gave Lucky a call, and thankfully, he gave me a shot and proved Zach right.
You know, South Dakota has continued to have success in track and field, whether it's indoor or outdoor. Men's, women's, both have had a lot of success. In your mind, being a part of this program, what separates it and allows this program to continue to have success?
It's got to be the team aspect. I feel like we're all like connected to each other like throughout our event groups. Because a lot of teams are mostly, they're just friends with the people they train with. And I feel like it's different with our team. We all lift each other up, whether it's the throws or the distance and the jumps. And it's just, we all just come together as a team.
Describe training for high jump. How do you get better in high jump? What is important in your training that gives you a chance to continue to increase your height?
So a big part of our training is just reps. If I do something right in practice, then I need to do it the same thing 5 more times so that I can execute that in a meet. And I do have to give a shout out to, on our off days or our rest recovery days, we, like to play spike ball. So I think that's really important for us in jumping high, but, yeah, just getting as many reps as we can.
You're getting ready for the outdoor season. Do you get a little break here? Do you take a little time in between? Because these seasons kind of run together.
So I had yesterday off, but and we do have a recovery week this week, but next week we'll just get right back into some tougher training and getting ready to get our strength back up for outdoor.
What's the biggest difference for you jumping indoor versus outdoor?
So it would probably be having to deal with weather, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, because there's certain weather that just makes it easier to jump. Maybe it's a little warmer. But there's other weather that if it's like really windy or if it's a little rainy, then that'll be a little harder to jump in. But it's a different atmosphere for sure.
Describe a jump for you when you leave your feet. Is it slow motion like a movie, or is it just over really quick?
It's pretty quick. Usually the longer the jump takes, the better it is. But if it's, it just goes real fast, and it's, I need to be better about focusing on the stuff in the middle of the jump, but it's just so fast that it can be hard to focus on that.
How do you know, or when do you know, if you cleared the bar?
As I'm falling back onto the mat, usually I can tell if I hit it at all. Sometimes I think I hit it hard enough where there's no way it stays up. Like back at Arkansas, I hit my PR 6.11 and I hit it with my head. So I was like, oh, there's no way that's staying. But then I turned around and the bar was just right there wiggling, and I was like, oh, I guess I just PR'd.
Wow.
And at that 7-foot jump, I hit it a little with my butt, but I didn't hit it that hard. So I kind of thought maybe it was gonna stay, and then I turned around and it was staying, and I was just pretty excited.
So if it's not track and field or working out for all of this, which takes a lot of your time, mm-hmm. and it's not spike ball, mm-hmm. what else do you do in your free time?
I spend time playing video games with my friends back home. I also like to just go hang out with some of my teammates outside of practice. And I read here and there.
You're an accounting major, I read. Mm-hmm. What do you hope to do with that? What led you down that path?
I'm not sure. My parents are both math teachers, so I've always liked numbers. And I didn't want to be a math teacher, so I just picked a numbers type field that you didn't have to be a math teacher for.
Now that you hit 7 feet, you've joined that 7-foot club. Mm-hmm. What's your goal next?
I really want to make the outdoor national meet. 'Cause that's basically all you have to do to make that is at the regional meet, jump 7 feet. And now that I know that I can jump 7 feet, that's my goal, is to make that outdoor national meet.
Does it change your approach now, knowing that bar that you hit, or is it the same approach, hoping to go a little higher?
I'm definitely hoping to go a little higher. I feel like I have an inch or two more in me. It really just comes down to my form. My form's not always the best, but I feel like if I can hone that a little bit, then I can get a couple more inches out of it.
Well, looking forward to seeing how the outdoor season goes for you. Congrats again on the team title, and hopefully we can get one in the outdoor season.
Thank you.
That is Joe Lynch. He is a high jumper for the University of South Dakota. He comes to us from Dakota State University and previously in Sioux Falls at O'Gorman High School. So good conversation with Joe Lynch, and I hope he can keep on climbing. You could tell he's got kind of that sneaky confidence in himself about going just a little bit higher, and that's always the goal, right? Keep raising the bar, pun intended, when you are in the high jump. Anytime you can increase your personal best, it is certainly a good thing. All right, before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics this week. And we start with Thursday, where the men's basketball team is at home to host North Dakota State. Tip off at 7 o'clock. That game will be on the Summit League Network. You can also hear it on the Coyote Sports Network. Women's basketball will be in Fargo to take on North Dakota State. Also tips off at 7 o'clock, again on the Coyote Sports Network. You can also watch that on the Summit League Network as well. So we've got basketball coming up this week, which is the final two games of the regular season for South Dakota. Friday afternoon, how about this? Women's tennis planning to play in Vermilion against Omaha. They don't get a lot of tennis matches in Vermilion. Hopefully the weather holds out, but they're planning on that against Omaha Friday afternoon. So if you're bored, check it out at the tennis courts outside the Dakota Dome in Vermilion. And then softball begins play in the Paladin Classic in Greenville, South Carolina. They will take on Akron on Friday, game number one of their stay. They have been hot lately. The softball team is, 8-2 over the last 10 games, I think, that they've played. So they got off to a tough opening weekend, but the last two weekends have been really good for softball. They'll play again on Saturday when they take on Akron in the Paladin Classic, and then they will play the host Furman on Saturday evening. Men's basketball will wrap up its regular season on Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock start time in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Midco Sports 2 and the Coyote Sports Network. You can follow along with all of the action. Women's basketball will play against North Dakota on Saturday at 2 o'clock. That's on the Summit League Network and also on the Coyote Sports Network as well. So that'll wrap up the regular season for the men's and women's basketball teams. And then Sunday, the softball team will wrap up their stay in Greenville, South Carolina at the Paladin Classic when they take on Furman for a second time on Sunday late morning, kind of early afternoon type of contest. Then they will head home. And then, of course, on Tuesday, the women's golf team will open up play at Ball State University's Puerto Rico Classic. That is set to run Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That is the slate. That's what's going on in Coyote Athletics. I hope you can catch a game, match, or meet very, very soon. And as always, for schedule information, for stories, for ticket information, all of it, visit GoYotes.com. That's it for us this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. Next week, we'll talk a lot about the Summit League Basketball Tournament. Also, I should mention, don't forget, keep an eye out this weekend. Myles Harden competing in the NFL's Combine, trying to raise his draft stock. So we'll keep an eye out on all of that as well for Coyote football player Myles Harden at the NFL Draft Combine, the Combine in Indianapolis. All right, have a great weekend. Stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.